Hey guys, Raymond here from the Beginner Photography Podcast, and today we're trying something new, getting just a little bit more casual. I'll tell you more in a second. Let's get into it.
Welcome to the Beginner Photography Podcast with Raymond Hatfield, the podcast dedicated to interviewing world-class photographers to ask them the questions you want answered. Whether you want to be the world's best wedding photographer, family photographer, pet photographer, or you just want to take better photos of your kids growing up, we will get you to start taking better photos today. Here with you as always, husband, father, home brewer, LA Dodger fan, and award-winning Indianapolis wedding photographer, Raymond Hatfield.
Hey guys, welcome back. I am Raymond, your host for the Beginner Photography Podcast, and today I think is a really good episode. It's something new and something that I've kind of tried to get going for a while, but was hesitant, but gave it a shot again, and then, well, life got in the way, but now we're back, so you'll find out how it is here in a second. But for now, a little bit about my week. It's been a great, great, great week. I met up with two listeners of the Beginner Photography Podcast who reached out to me, just so happened to live here close to Indianapolis, and wanted to meet for a coffee and chat a little bit about photography. And it was fun. It was really good. It was just like some photographers hanging out, just talking about photography. There really wasn't any sort of preconceived idea as to what was going to happen at these meetings, but I left feeling a little bit more of with a sense of community. Like, there really is people out there who listen. Like, I look at the metrics and see the numbers for the podcast and how many downloads and listens we get, but it's nice to finally connect a face with one of these numbers of the listeners. So it was just really fun and interesting and something that I enjoyed and I look forward to doing more of in the future. So if anybody is here in Indy or just passing by or close to Indy, I would be more than happy to hang out and maybe grab a coffee or a beer, because who doesn't love beer? So that was a ton of fun. Another fun thing that happened, actually right now, right before I recorded this interview, is that the computer that I have been using for the past few years has been a very trusty computer, but it's been time to upgrade for a while. And today I finally took the plunge and did it, with Apple announcing a whole new line of iMacs just a few weeks ago. I thought, what better time than now to just go ahead and upgrade? And when I checked out and saw the number for how much it costs to buy an iMac, my heart skipped a beat, or like seven, or I think I went into cardiac arrest for a full minute and was what just came back to life. And in the middle of that, somehow I actually hit the buy button. So that is on its way, regardless of the price. And, you know, one of the things that I hear from a lot of beginners is that I want to do photography, but I don't have enough money to buy a Mac. And a Mac or an Apple isn't going to make your photos any better. I think that there's just kind of this idea that, it's all based on Apple. Like, they've done a great job at cultivating this, but it seems that a lot of creatives use Apple products as if they're better for some reason, and I wouldn't say that they're better. In fact, I would say that that they're not as good as their counterparts in several different ways, in performance and in price. However, that being said, I've been invested in Apple for so long. I mean, for 15 years now or so. I mean, it's been a long time. And at this point, if I were to switch to a Windows computer, it just wouldn't make sense for me financially to have to repurchase a lot of the software that I use every day in my business. That learning curve that I would have to tackle, learning an entirely new system, just isn't worth it for me right now. There's something that I'm comfortable with. It works. It's relatively rock solid. I haven't had any problems with it, except for the fact that it's just showing its age. And every time that I have had problems with computers in the past, it's just been fixed. Apple took care of it, and I always felt like they did the right thing. So the only reason why I would want to move is simply because of the price And at this point, like I said, I don't think that saving a few hundred dollars is worth the months of time that it would take me to learn an entirely new operating system, ecosystem, and then just going from there. But if you have like all this Windows stuff, don't feel like you're not good enough as a photographer because you don't have Apple everything. Seriously, Windows computers, more than fine. They're great. It's all about the photography. But regardless, I'm still really excited about the computer for it to come. It's got this beautiful 5K display, 27-inch screen, which is massive. Like I bought an external display for my laptop, and it's a 24-inch screen, and I think, geez, this thing's too big for me sometimes. So 27 inches is going to be a jump for sure. But I'm really excited to keep doing more work. Another thing that I want to talk about real quick is something that I haven't done in a few weeks, but it's a review that was left for the podcast in iTunes. And we keep getting reviews, and I shamefully keep forgetting to include them in the intros. But today, not so much. Today, I got one for you, and I love it. So this one is from Hermosa Photo, or I believe her name is Lorena. I think iTunes kind of changed the way that it displays usernames to also show regular names or first names now. So anyway, Lorena, if you're listening, thank you so much for this review. It says, I am so forever grateful to Raymond, that's me, for taking the time to make these podcasts. Being a beginner photographer, it was and can be so intimidating to learn the art of photography. Raymond makes it so easy to understand and is so patient and willing to help with any question. Thank you so much for the incredible information you give us newbies. Thank you, comma, thank you, exclamation point. Again, Lorena, you are so, so, so welcome. Thank you for even listening to my voice every week. It really does mean a lot to me, and that's just great. I'm glad to hear that you had these pain points of feeling intimidated by learning photography from other people who maybe push their ideas on you and found something in the way that I talk about photography that resonated with you to make you easier to understand. So again, Lorena, thank you very much for your listen. I'm really excited for this weekend. This weekend I got a wedding that I'm going to. And so today I've been packing everything up. But if you're listening to this on Monday, the day that it goes live, I already went to that wedding. So the wedding that I went to this weekend was great. It was awesome. It was a ton of fun. I can't really tell you much about it. But just trust that it was a good time. No, but today, lots of charging batteries, packing bags, you know, multiple cameras, got some GoPros, a drone, which I'm super excited about. And this drone is tiny. I got the DJI Spark. It's smaller than my glasses. I mean, this thing is super, super tiny, really portable. I'm so excited to get that out and use it. And then, of course, as always, my trusty Samsung Gear 360. So it's going to be a fun wedding. It's going to be a lodge in front of a lake. Really beautiful photos, I can tell, are on their way. And the couple, super fun, super fantastic as well. It's going to be a great day. So in the intro, I talked about that this episode was kind of new, but it's also kind of not. It's been something that I've been wanting to do and kind of did, but I didn't. So this episode is with an ex-guest, Matt Druin. And if you remember him, he is a destination wedding photographer. And I know that a lot of you remember him because his episode got quite a few downloads. People really want to know about traveling. They want to know about photography. So he was a very memorable guest, but Matt and I have become good friends. And we talk a lot just on Skype, you know, without recording it or anything. Just talk about photography, some ideas, things about running a business, things that suck, pros and cons of certain things. Like, he really helped me out with this whole iMac decision and which model to buy and whatnot. So we thought, you know what, why don't we just have a chat with us photographers where we talk about maybe opposing ideas. I feel one way, he feels another, and we talk about that to show, you know, that there's more than one viewpoint on different aspects of photography, that there's not only one way to convey that. So that's what we're attempting to do today. And hopefully in the future, maybe it's a monthly segment. Maybe it's every other month. who knows? I mean, it'll kind of depend on how you guys receive this episode, but I think that it's a good one, and I'm really excited for you guys to listen to it. So we're just going to go ahead and get into it right now with Matt Druin. We kind of joke about this being like we're trying to come up with a name. Is it a fireside chat? Is it like a bar stool chat? You know, I tried to make it not very formal. However, I still kind of fell into that, rut. Of being the podcast host, so I think in time that'll leave. But for now, whatever it is, just enjoy it. So today, for the 100th time, let's get into it right now. Matt Druin, fireside bar stool chat photography. Let's get into it. Well, Matt, this is something that we've been trying to get together for a while and try to produce. I'm really excited about this this new segment. Why don't you kind of start off by telling the listeners as to, I guess, kind of how we started this and how, let me kind of backtrack there. You've been on the podcast before, and one of the goals that you had for this year is that you really wanted to start a podcast and share a lot of information, but you kind of feel, I've heard doubts from you saying that, who am I? Like, what do I have to share? So many other photographers are sharing all these other things, like in their podcast. Why would mine stick out? And I've listened to some of your podcasts that you've recorded, and they're great. So I suggested, or maybe you suggested, whoever suggested, you come on the Beginner Photography Podcast for a weekly segment just to kind of get an idea of what it's like to have a conversation as a podcast and just get going so that when you're ready and comfortable, you can start your own podcast, which I think would be a huge hit. Does that sound about right? Did I leave anything out there?
Yeah, that's pretty much how it worked out.
Best intro ever. Right on. Okay, cool. Well, then, so all of this that we are about to do was your idea. This is kind of a new endeavor for me. For you as well, and yet it's hopefully feels very comfortable to a lot of the listeners, because we kind of do this on our own anyway. Like every Wednesday we chat on Skype, we meet up and we talk about things, and then it just kind of naturally progresses into something that I guess we thought, hey, why aren't we recording this? Like, this is something of content that a lot of people might want to listen to. So here we are.
Yes we are.
All right, so why don't you tell people like what kind of your idea was, or if you want to give them another background update on your life since you've been on the podcast, go for that as well.
Okay, well, the whole idea, I guess, of these podcasts are going to be a lot more chill, and it's kind of a conversation, like at a bar, just kind of hanging out with friends, talking about different photography topics.
So if I were to be like, hey, Matt, let me take you to the bar. I'll buy you a drink. I got a question about, today's topic is going to be about gear. So this is going to be the conversation that you would expect to have.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, right on. Well, let's get straight into it. We're at the bar right now. Matt, I have this problem. All right. It's gear. It's gear. And I'm not sure why. I'm not sure if it matters, right? I tell a lot of people, and I feel this way, that gear doesn't matter, and yet every wedding that I go to, I look at my bag of stuff and it's like, man, I have a lot of gear. Like, I'm kind of a hypocrite for telling people that gear doesn't matter. Do you feel the same way?
And it gets heavier.
And it gets heavier.
A lot heavier. Exactly. Yeah. yes and no. So I don't think gear matters. But there are some times where a certain tool will be a lot better than another, right?
Like what?
So if you were just, let's say, for example, we're shooting portraits all the time, and the only thing we have is an 18 to 55 kit lens. Well, maybe we get an 85 or like a 105 or some other lens that would be better suited for that job, mm-hmm. right? Maybe it's faster, it will shoot better, it looks better. The compression's better, but we could still do the same job with the 18 to 55, but it would just be better to have the other tool, right?
Right, right.
So like in that instance, the gear does matter to an extent, but that doesn't mean you can't start doing the job with the 18 to 55.
Right, right. You know, one of the things that I feel the same way. One of the things that I learned very early on in shooting weddings is that obviously it's like all these pros that I'd see have, like, you know, the Canon, the Holy Grail lens is the 85 millimeter 1.2. Mm. And it's like, as a wedding photographer, you just kind of assumed that you needed to have that lens. Like, well, if all the other pros have it, I guess I have to have it as well. But the lens is like $2,000. And when I first started shooting weddings, I was like, I can't afford that. Like, I have a crop sensor camera. Like, I have, you know, the only other lens that I have is a 17 to 55 f2.8, right? That thing costs like $400. There's no way that I could afford $2,000 for a lens. However, Canon has a 85 millimeter 1.8, which I believe is only $300. So I was like, well, it's probably not the same. It's probably worse, but it's still a prime 1.8. That's still fast enough. I'll go ahead and give it a shot. And I bought it and I loved that lens, honestly. Like, how light it was, obviously how cheap it was great as well. And the image quality was like nice and sharp. Sure, that it wasn't like a 1.2, but I thought that the price like more than made up for its shortcomings. I was more than happy to have the issues that I had with the lens for only paying $300 rather than paying $2,000 for like this Holy Grail lens. So sometimes that matters as well, right? Like when it comes to gear, like maybe you can still achieve the same effect, but you don't need the top of the line, best of everything.
No, I fully agree. Fully agree. I mean, you know me, like I'm all about one, saving money and kind of being frugal with the money that we have.
Says somebody who, like, in the past 2 weeks has spent, like, $6,000 switching to a new camera system.
Well, that was also... I saved up for that.
Oh, okay.
But, and I'm also selling off a bunch of other gear. I guess we kind of get to that okay. later on. But, but yeah, and I'm all about staying debt-free, you know? So if you don't have the cash, then you just don't buy it, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, I mean, I totally agree. And I did the same thing. Like, when I started weddings, I started with a D3000, which was like a $300 entry point Nikon camera. And I had a 35 millimeter, like 1.8. And so that was like cheap. And then I would just rent other stuff that I would need to do the jobs, right?
Oh, okay.
And then I would kind of work my way up. So from each job, I would save a small percentage out of each one, you know, to kind of buy new gear and for repairs and stuff like that. And I still do that to this day. It's just a bigger percentage because money's bigger, right?
Right, yeah.
But that's the same way that I've done it since day one, you know? And man, you can get in a lot of trouble buying gear real quick. All you got to do is open up the internet, click a button, and
Amazon, done. Man, that's the place to go. That's always trouble. And now they send me emails when, like, anything that I put in my wish list has gone on sale. Like, hey, guess what? Guess what's 30% off today? And it's like, ugh, I don't need that. I don't need that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So like, what did you do, in the beginning when you knew that you needed better gear, but, you didn't have the money for it in terms of like deciding what gear it was that you needed? Like, was there a lens that you had never shot before? So in my case, obviously on Canon, I know that you shot Nikon because you're never going to shoot Nikon again. You now switch to Fuji forever. So in Canon, like I said, we're just going to stick with that example, the 85 1.2. Everybody knows that they have it. Would you have saved up for that lens, or would you have wanted to, or would you have bought the cheaper 85 millimeter 1.8 version?
Personally, when I started, I bought the cheaper versions. So I bought the 1.8 versions because, one, they were cheaper. But if I had $2,000 and I dropped it on one lens, as opposed to buying other stuff that I could have gotten to help me out, you know, I think that would be a better way to go, right? Mm-hmm. Like there is a photographic difference between those two lenses. Some may notice, some might not notice, but if you're trying to do a business, you know, like everything counts. And from a client's perspective, I don't necessarily know that they would be able to tell the difference,
right?
You know? And so when I started, I would take my funds, you know, say I had $1,000, instead of buying one lens, I might buy two different lenses that I would need, or maybe a lens and a flash, you know, as opposed to continuously renting the stuff that I didn't need. And then you can always work your way up. Once you get like a nice little kit, you can kind of start working your way up to better lenses, better cameras, and better everything else. But if you've got the tools to make the money, I mean, that's money coming in as opposed to not having the tools, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. What are your thoughts on like buying gear used, especially like when you're starting out? I know that you said that your first camera, you traded like a toolbox for it. So obviously that camera was used. But what happened after that?
It was brand new.
Oh, really?
It was brand new. Yeah.
No kidding. Okay. Did you do that on purpose?
The main reason why I traded the toolbox for the camera is because it was new and it was worth more. And I was actually going to resell it to make more money.
Man, I was getting my hustle on. Where do you think you'd be now if you did? That's hilarious.
Honestly, like that is weird. Like I just think back to that. If I didn't trade that toolbox for that camera, I literally probably wouldn't be here, you know, doing what I do, right?
You think that you'd be working some like 9-to-5 desk job?
I don't know. Honestly, probably not, just because I've never really had a 9-to-5 desk job. I've always been very entrepreneurial. And I mean, this is like my third or fourth business that I've had. I mean, I've worked, you know, like at a Circuit City before, and I worked at Taco Bell for 15 minutes one time. But other than that, like I've never really had a normal job.
Right.
Yeah. So I think that'd be hard for me.
It's crazy. So, okay. So the camera was new. Would you have done the same deal if the camera was used? Are you ready to transform your love for photography into profit? Imagine capturing beautiful moments while bringing in a little extra money for your family each month. Sound too good to be true? With CloudSpot, it's not just a dream. Designed by photographers for photographers, CloudSpot simplifies your business. Effortlessly organize shoots, send professional contracts, questionnaires, invoices, and enjoy faster payment payouts with the lowest fees in the industry, including PayPal. Forget lost emails and messy spreadsheets. CloudSpot offers a streamlined workflow, letting you focus on the moment. And here is the clincher. Grab your free CloudSpot account at deliverphotos.com and you'll get access to my personal wedding and portrait contracts and questionnaires. So don't let uncertainty hold you back. Embrace the future of photography business management with CloudSpot Studio. Sign up at deliverphotos.com today and transform your passion into profit.
Yeah, probably. I mean, if it was still worth more than that toolbox was, which I'm sure it would have been. Yeah, I totally would have done that. Like, I have nothing against buying used lenses. Actually, I literally just bought a used lens. I bought the lens new, actually, and then sent it back to Adorama because somebody on Facebook posted a brand new lens. He used it like once, and so I sent it back and saved $150, which isn't a lot of bucks, but it's better than no bucks.
Hey,
you know?
$150 is $150 for sure.
Yeah,
that's a lot of In-N-Out Burger and a lot of Taco Bell.
And gas to get there.
Yeah.
Yeah, so like, I have nothing about buying used gear. I'm personally very weird about buying gear online that's used. Like, I'm never going to buy through, like, an eBay or something like that just because you really don't know anything, you know? So, like, in person I'm cool with because I can, like, test it out and really check it out and stuff. And I'm also kind of weird about, like, making sure it's not stolen and stuff like that, you know? But I bought used gear before. I'm, like, my second body that I ever bought, I bought used, and that was, like, a D300S.
Is the 300S also an entry level camera? Or is that like the next step up?
That would be more, I guess, prosumer.
Oh, okay. So it's still upgrading.
Crop sensor. Yeah, slowly but surely, for sure. Like, I didn't jump into full frame or anything, but It was, I needed a second camera because I was running a second camera for every wedding. Yeah. So if I could save up the money just to buy one, that would save on the rental fees for that, and I can own instead of rent, right? Mm-hmm. But, you know, I saved up the cash to do that.
Yeah. Did you buy that local or did you buy that online?
Yeah, I bought it local off Craigslist. I don't know if people still use that or not, but
I do. You know what's funny is that growing up in California, the dude who started Craigslist, obviously his name is Craig, but I don't know much about the guy, but he lived in San Francisco. So like that was the first Craigslist was there in San Francisco. And where I lived just north of San Francisco encompassed that first Craigslist website, I suppose. So I've been on Craigslist like forever, and it's funny like to see the amount of people who are using Craigslist in the Bay Area And then when I moved out to Indiana, I was like, oh, you know, it would just be one of the first places that I would check for anything. I needed a new phone. Oh, let me check Craigslist first. You know, being able to meet somebody, see it in person, pay cash for it, and then do an exchange was great. I moved out to Indiana and was like, oh, I need a new camera. Let me go ahead and check Craigslist. There's nobody on Craigslist. Like, this is terrible. It's so weird. But now, like, as time goes on, it gets bigger and bigger. But, yeah, I think that's interesting that you said, obviously it's that you wouldn't buy cameras and stuff on eBay and stuff. 'Cause I do. In fact, all of the cameras that I own, I either bought on Craigslist. I take that back. I have one camera that I bought, through a Facebook group, but still I purchased it sight unseen. And like you said, it's kind of scary, but the way that I thought about it, the way that I justified it in my head, I think, was that I thought of the way that I treat my camera gear. And I treat my camera gear, like, at least at the time, like, when I had a camera, I treated it like it was gold, like it was precious. It went in like a nice little sleeve. And then it went into a bag, and then, like, I took care of it, and I'd, like, clean it every weekend. And when I'd take it out, I was very careful not to drop it or, you know, get water on it or put it in any sort of dangerous situations. And I saw other people reacting the same ways, treating their cameras the exact same ways. And I thought, you know, like, I'm clearly not the only person who you know, treats their camera like this, because cameras are a pretty big expense, especially if it's just a hobby. If it's a hobby and you're spending like a grand on a body and then another grand on some lenses, you're going to want to treat those things like as well as you can. So for me, I just roll the dice. And if I find something that looks good to me on eBay, like, of course, I'm not going to buy it without pictures. I'm going to look at all the pictures as close as I can, and then I'm just going to make an educated decision on whether or not I'm going to buy it. And knock on wood, I haven't had any problems yet. And like, it's, but I understand like the point of buying it new, right? Like, clearly it's a business. If something's wrong with that camera and you buy it new, like, there are warranties in place, there's some sort of exchange policy or something. It costs more, but like, to the business, it makes more sense to buy something new. But I've just always had really, really good luck buying used camera gear, and I don't know, I think I'm gonna continue to still do it until I get burned, and then if I get burned, maybe I'll change my ways.
Yeah, I see that for sure. I guess at this point in my career, I typically will always buy new, mainly for the warranties, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a tough thing. That's a big expense. However, like, I mean, maybe I'm just kind of like, I used to work at Best Buy for like 15 minutes. Like, it wasn't very long at all. But the warranties that they made us sell, they didn't make us tell everybody that it covered everything, right? They're like, oh, no, it'll cover anything. Water damage, if you lost it, bring it back in, we'll give you a new one or whatever. But in reality, like, the warranties really covered nothing. Like, it was really embarrassment. So I've always just kind of had this negative, like, the word warranty has just been this, like, negative connotation to me. That I'm like, yeah, that's just some baloney. And then I've never really bought into it. Have you ever had to use a warranty?
Well, first, I mean, there's a huge difference between a manufacturer's warranty and the BS Best Buy warranties.
Right. Sure.
I will never buy a third party warranty for anything ever. It's like the biggest ripoff scam, because, like, literally that's where, like, say Best Buy, for example, they make more money off warranties and credit cards than anything else in the entire store, which is why they always push warranties and credit cards. So, yeah, I won't buy third-party stuff. But from a manufacturer, I mean, yeah, I would hope that they stand behind their product, because that's what's on the line, right?
Yeah, of course.
Especially when it comes to, an amazing company like Fuji. I mean, they're known for being pretty one-on-one with the community of Fuji users. So I would assume that they would definitely take care of the people that use their gear, right?
Right, right. But
I don't know. There's something that just, like, I guess now in my business, you know, I've saved up enough money and stuff in, you know, my repair and new gear account that I can afford to buy new stuff. Mm-hmm. So I do, knowing that I'm going to use it for a long time. So it's not like I'm going to buy something and then when the new one comes out, I'm upgrading. That's, I just don't do that. I, like, the cameras I'm using now, I've probably had for like 4, maybe 5 years, and I beat the hell out of them, you know, just because of the nature of my work, you know?
Sure.
So I use the stuff real good. It's, or like a lens, you know, like, you're not going to buy a lens and upgrade the lens. I mean, what they, some of these companies don't even come out with new lenses, you know, to ever upgrade to, you know? So it's like, I'm just going to buy new, buy the best thing I can and keep it, you know?
So I'll go back to my question. Have you ever had to use a warranty?
Oh, yes. Have I? Yes, actually, I've used the Nikon warranty for one of my cameras. The shutter actually... I was using it and it literally just like fell out or blew out or
was it a D750?
No, I've never owned that camera. It was actually a D700, which was like a power workhorse of a camera.
Really?
Yes, I sent it in and they fixed it and they actually replaced a lot of the body, like the rubber grips and stuff were all like falling apart and stuff. They replaced all that. So when I get it back, it was literally like a brand new camera. It was crazy.
Well, yeah. See that, hearing stories like that makes me feel good about it.
But that's a manufacturer. That's a manufacturer warranty, not third-party Best Buy.
Right, exactly. Whatever. Yeah. No, I mean, those things were garbage. So you do obviously a lot of traveling, and we talked about this when you were on the podcast. But, like, what all do you take with you to weddings? Because I would imagine that traveling is – every ounce has got to count. You don't want to carry
it. No, it totally does. So pretty much for travel, I bring the exact same thing as I do local. It doesn't matter either way. I got just everything that I need. As I was kind of going through the progression of my career, you know, like I kind of did probably what everybody else does. You know, I bought the 14 to 24, the 70 to 200, 24 to 70. I had like 5 different prime lenses, like 3 different camera bodies and all this stuff. And then again, I got to a point where I was just kind of over carrying all that stuff all the time. It was exhausting to carry it for one. I found myself really not using the stuff because, you know, I did have to carry it. Then I had to use it. I don't know. I never really used it. So I actually switched back to using just a 35 and 85 prime lens. I kept all the other stuff just really as backups to that. So like when I go... Yeah, so like when I would go to weddings and stuff and travel, I would always bring 35, 85, the 24 to 70, and the 70 to 200, and the 14 to 24. Mm-hmm. But I didn't use any of that stuff except for the 35 and 85, and I used the 14 to 24 a lot just for a lot of environmental portraits, which I like. But the other stuff, no, I never use it. It just literally sat there as a backup.
Jeez, that's crazy.
So I think I've used like that 24 to 70, I probably used 3 times, 70 to 200, I think I've used it once, maybe. Yeah, so that's pretty expensive dust collector, I guess.
For sure, yeah. So, like, do you just carry the one bag of all your stuff, or like, what else do you bring? And I know that you also bring a laptop. Like, are there what sorts of like other accessories do you bring?
Good question. Let me see. So I have about 5 or 6 flashes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, miscellaneous cables and stuff, pocket wizards, batteries. I'll bring my laptop, a ton of cards. That's really about it.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So it sounds to me like kind of the way that you've minimized your kit so that you can shoot destinations has kind of tailored your photography into a different style. Does that sound right? Like, do you think that if you just shot local, maybe you'd just be shooting on that 24 to 70?
No, just my style actually has dictated what gear I've used and what I'm using and moving to.
Okay,
fair enough. It's all based off,
So, like, we've talked about this like quite a bit. I carry way too much gear with me. to weddings.
An insane amount. Yeah, I would
agree. But, like, it's not... And, like, I'm only one guy, but... And, again, like, I've told people that the gear doesn't matter, and yet, literally, you and I last night were talking about this. We're like, oh, my God, I just realized, like, I have two cameras, some lenses. They have to go in their own bag. I have a GoPro. I have a portable light. I have two portable lights, and the rest of my strobes, those go in their own bag. I have... a printer. Well, now I have two printers. I have film for those printers. I have batteries for those printers, cables for those printers. They have to have their own bag. I now have a drone that's got to have its own bag as well. I also have a 360 camera that I take. Actually, that fits in my main bag, but it has its own pouch that it's taken care of as well. So, like, when I go to a wedding, it's a lot of stuff. But I these things have, like, there's no doubt that these things have, like put me into a better position with my photography, right? Like I was telling you. Well, I mean, specifically just that 360 camera. I've booked weddings off of using that 360 camera, and not because I used it like with a couple, but because I used it strategically. Shot photos of the venue in 360, uploaded those to Google Maps. Google Maps saw my photos. People found those photos. They found me, and then they booked me to shoot their wedding.
Hold on. Yeah, that's definitely pretty cool.
It is cool. But like it does take time out of my day, but at the same time, it's like the camera that I use, I mean, this thing is tiny. It has, right? Like it fits in a small bag. And can go almost anywhere. And it's not the highest resolution. And it doesn't shoot like the best video. But it shoots good enough video and photos for what I'm doing. Like GoPro has this 6-camera rig that you use. And then like crazy software to like edit all this stuff together. And combined it's like a package of like $10,000. Just so that you can start to take... 360 photos, and yeah, the image quality is really good, but this thing was under $200. You know what I mean? Like the 360 camera that I use is less than $200. So I thought I'll go ahead and give it a try. So when I say that gear doesn't matter, it's like, yeah, gear doesn't matter to a point. I could have this huge 360 rig that requires like a very steady tripod and, you know, a laptop just to run the software to be able to use it. But I don't. Like, I'm okay with taking a hit on quality to make up for in convenience, in size, and portability.
Yeah, and I guess it also depends on the intention of what you're going to do with it, you know? Like, for what you're doing, I don't think it would matter. Like, a $10,000 setup's not going to do anything different for you, you know?
Right. So, like, I still have to think, though. Like, I still have to take inventory of everything that I have and bring to weddings. And it is still a lot. And now after last week's podcast, I'm bringing albums to weddings so that I can create albums there the day of, on the spot. It's just more stuff. I bring an iPad to weddings as well. So, I wonder if my life would be any easier. No, I know that my life would be easier if I didn't bring as much stuff. If I just brought the three bodies, some lenses, and then some flashes. I know that my life would be so much easier. But I wonder if I would still get the same effect as far as the bookings that I get, the recognition from people. Some people know me as, you know, taking those 360 photos. Some people know me as the guy who gives couples prints at the end of the wedding. I wonder, like, if I would still get that. I wonder if it would be worth it to not have that gear.
Hey,
Hey, Raymond here, and I know that diving into the world of editing can feel like navigating a maze, especially if you're just starting out. So that's why I created our exclusive collection of 52 Lightroom presets, absolutely free. While presets can dramatically enhance your photos, they're not a one-click solution. They're a starting point for your creativity and an opportunity to learn and grow in your editing skills. These presets work seamlessly with all versions of Lightroom, whether you're on a computer or using Lightroom Mobile. And they're designed to simplify your editing process, adding that professional touch to your photos while giving you the flexibility to fine-tune them to your taste. So if you're ready to take your photos to the next level, head over to freephotographypresets.com right now and get editing today.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess you'd have to kind of research and evaluate that. But one thing that I found kind of doing what I've been doing the last couple of years, which is minimizing all of my stuff, is my level of creativity and excitement for photography has skyrocketed, which there in turn will make my work better and me better, the clients better, you know, because I mean, for a while, I just felt real stagnant, you know, like I didn't feel like I was getting better. My work was kind of the same. Like, I felt bored of everything that I was doing. You know, you just kind of get in those ruts. And that's when I decided to make the change back to just the 35-85. And then ever since then, I've been trying to minimize everything to where I get rid of the grips off my camera. I get rid of the straps off my cameras. Like, I got a messenger bag, and I would seriously put two cameras in there, a 35 and an 85, and a single flash. That's what I use for 90% of a wedding day. And that's still what I use for 90% of a wedding day. Other than that, I mean, I have, like, you know, some off-camera lighting and stuff like that that I do as part of just kind of my style and for reception work. But other than that, I mean, I literally work out of that messenger bag for pretty much the entire day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you ever wish that you could do more? Like, have you ever put yourself in a situation where you thought, like, ah, damn, like, I really like shooting the 35-85 combo, but I could really use that 70-200 right now?
Not at all. I think that's part of the fun, at least for me, is, like, the challenge, you know, when you come into issues and problems and you have to figure out how to solve a problem with what you have, you know? Like, just throwing money and buying stuff isn't going to solve a problem. But if you can figure out how to solve the problem with what you have, that's going to make you that even better of a photographer, you know? Because as photographers, a big thing of what we do is problem solving. We're visual problem solvers, right?
That makes sense.
Yeah. So I think by reducing the amount of gear that I've had and focusing on learning just those small tools, I've gotten so good at those tools. You know, like, I know where I need to be at with a 35. I know where I need to be at with an 85. Mm-hmm. You know, it just, I think a lot of people, they buy stuff, and they never really learn effectively and efficiently how to really use a single tool, like light modifiers, you know, or like when you're starting flash, you know, people just buy all this stuff and just kind of half-ass use it, I guess, you know. They don't take the time to really learn what a softbox looks like, you know, at 24 inches and, like, really figure out how it works, what it does, what it can't do, you know. And they have no reason, they don't know why they're going to buy something else, because they don't know anything, you know.
Okay, so let's say somebody just buys a new 24-inch softbox. What should they do with it then? Because how are you going to learn if you don't have it?
Yeah, so if you just buy a new tool like a 24-inch softbox, why not use just that for everything for like 3 months, 6 months, maybe a year, and really learn inside and out what it does and what it doesn't do and why, you know? Because then you know exactly what else you might need to buy. Right.
Yeah. That's smart.
Does that make sense? It's the same thing with like a camera or a lens. You know, it's like people buy, and that's one of the reasons why I don't necessarily like zoom lenses. Is you have too many options. You know, like, you don't have to do anything. You can just stand in a corner and take photos if you really wanted to. You know.
Yeah.
But where is the learning? Where is the adventure? Where is the creativity in that? There is none.
Right.
And it's like people, they don't learn what the different focal lengths actually do, right? So like with a 35, I mean, I've been using it for so long, like, I know what it can do, and the majority of the time I use that lens probably 90% of the day. And I literally would stand a foot away from somebody, 2 feet away from somebody, like, I work super close with that lens. But then also I'll do really wide shots with it too, you know? But I know what it can and can't do.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that there was just an article on, it was either F-Stoppers or Petapixel, where they posted a challenge that was just like, for the next year, you only use one camera and one lens. Like, no matter what.
Yeah.
No matter if it's paid gigs, no matter, like, whatever it is, you can only use one camera, one lens. And they were suggesting using a 50mm lens, because it's not very wide, but it's not very telephoto. They say that it's, like, a pretty good mix in between. It's kind of the same focal length, compression-wise, as your eye, as it naturally sees. So just to go ahead and give that a shot. And I thought about it. As somebody who's trying to minimize the amount of gear that you bring to a wedding, like, what are your thoughts on that?
I personally don't think I could do that just because of the jobs that I do. You know, like, I mean, aside from weddings, I shoot editorial, like fashion editorial and like family documentaries and stuff. And there's just no way I could get away just solely using that one lens all the time professionally. Mm-hmm. But as a kind of a hobby thing, I guess,
absolutely,
on my off times, I could totally do that. And I have done that. And that's what I've done with the gear that I have now. I literally have done that. Like, I've been using, like, that 35-85 forever, you know? And I shoot everything with them. Even though, like, I have, like, a 105, I have a 7200, I could shoot portraits with, but I still use that 85, you know?
Right. Yeah, I don't know. I like the idea, but I never... I think that I just like the look of the 35 so much. Like, I understand the point that they're getting at. I understand that you have to push yourself creatively. But I don't think that I need that. And I'm not saying that I think that I'm the master of creativity. But I think that I was self-aware enough at the first wedding that I had a 70-200. Or no, the 24-70 rather. And I thought, like, man, I'm sure that I just look like the laziest photographer in the world right now. That, like, the second that I got home, I immediately listed that thing online and was like, I have to sell this. Like, otherwise my photography is really going to suffer. And I just went back to the 35mm, 85mm combo. And since then, you know, I feel like I know when to use it correctly. Maybe sometimes I favor the 35 more than what I should. But I like the 35. And I'm not sure that taking that challenge of the 50 mil challenge for an entire year would help me enough to where I wouldn't regret losing the 35. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's kind of funny because, like, when for a couple of years I did use the 24-70 and the 70-200 like all the time. That's what I used, and that's when I started feeling like I started not trying as hard. My work started suffering. Like my creativity was kind of stagnant and stuff. But oddly enough, there used to be this thing for Lightroom to where you could, like, it was like a plugin or something, I think, and it would tell you, like, what focal lengths you use the most often and things like that. And I ran it on a few weddings, and oddly enough, like, pretty much all of my shots were 35, 85, or somewhere close to that.
No
kidding. Using the 24-70, 70-200, yeah. So it's just something I guess I personally favored as far as the visuals and the look and the way I shoot, I guess. Just kind of fell into there, and I just thought that was kind of weird. And that's pretty much when I decided to go back to the 35-85.
Right. I mean, the numbers don't lie.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, so you might as well get something sharper, faster, and better build quality, for sure.
And way lighter.
Yeah. I mean, gear is a weird thing. Gear is a weird thing, you know? Like we just talked about, it's something that it really doesn't matter. Like, you could technically do a gig, you know, with whatever gear that you have. Some gear may, you know, be a better fit for that gig, but that doesn't mean that you have to go out and spend the money on that gear, on that piece of kit, if you don't have it.
Sometimes, yeah, and I think the limitations
really do help your creativity.
No, I fully agree with that for sure. But I think one thing too is, like, buy gear when you need the gear and you know why, you know? So if you, like, you're doing a job and you're continuously needing the same kind of tool, right? Like 3 or 4 times in a row, then that's kind of when it's time to buy, because it's something you're going to use all the time and you know the reason why you need it.
Yeah.
As opposed to just buying stuff just because everybody else is buying stuff which, you know, being American, that's just kind of what people do in general. It's just keeping up with the Joneses all the time, you know?
Yeah.
And it's just like that in photography, you know, people just buy stuff all the time just because they see everybody else is buying stuff and showing it off on Facebook and stuff. I don't know. I think a lot of people buy stuff. They have no clue why they're even buying it. You know, they're just buying because everybody else is.
Yeah. I think that's smart what you said, though. If you're going to buy something when you need it and know why you need it. Because surely you can go out and be like, man, I wish I had a 70 to 200. Oh, I need it. I'm just going to go ahead and buy it. But knowing why you need it and knowing, you know, if knowing how your 85 won't, you know, do the same job that you need your 70 to 200 to do. That is super important. And it all really comes down to being self-aware, about what it is that, you know, what it is that you're shooting, what it is that you're buying, and what it is that, that you want to create and what it is that you want to accomplish. So, well, Matt, I think that we hit our time. We did this.
Hey, already?
Already. The time is up. Yeah. And, I still have a few more sips of beer left. So, maybe next time we'll convince Matt to bring something a little stronger than coffee.
Well, it's actually a latte.
But, oh, yeah. My bad. All right. Well, Matt, let's do this again sometime, and I will talk to you later.
All right, man. Thanks for having me.
All right. So again, guys, I would honestly, truly love to hear your thoughts on this episode with Matt and I talking about gear, you know? There really is no right and wrong answers to these podcasts. There's no, does gear matter? Yes, absolutely. Should you be spending all of your money on this gear that you don't need? No, absolutely not. Again, this is all just showing different sorts of viewpoints. And I really hope that it helped a lot of you who, because I keep getting emails from people asking, you know, should I really shoot a wedding if I don't own a 70 to 200? It's not that easy. It's more of a complex answer than that. And you just at some point have to ask yourself these questions and just go for it, honestly. So that's it. Guys, please let me know what you thought of this episode. I truly do want to hear what you thought. Send me an email at beginnerphotographypodcast@gmail.com. Let me know if you want me or us to continue these. And we'll go from there. But that's it for today. Guys, I want you to get out there. Shoot as often as you can. Share those photos. Enjoy. And again, if you have any questions, never hesitate to ask. That's it. Join me next week when we talk all about how to make money with your photography and travel the world for free. What? Yeah. That really piqued your interest, didn't it? Uh-huh. Well, you're going to have to wait till next week. So, guys, I will see you next week. I love you all. Have a good time. Be safe. Love you. Bye.
Thank you for listening to today's episode of the Beginner Photography Podcast. Be sure to join the conversations on Facebook and Instagram. And if you want any links or resources we talked about in today's episode, check out the show notes at beginnerphotographypodcast.com. See you again next week.